From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the program, we'll be remembering Yingying Zhang, the Chinese visiting scholar who was abducted and murdered shortly after her arrival at the University of Illinois. Her life and disappearance and her family's quest for justice and closure are now the subject of a documentary film. Plus, we'll check in with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, whom I spoke with yesterday afternoon. We'll talk about her experience during the Capitol insurrection on January 6th, prospects for additional COVID relief, and more. But first, 50 years ago, last month, a young man from Chicago first took the oath of office in the Illinois House of Representatives. Michael Madigan would go on a dozen years later to become Speaker of the Illinois House and hold on to that powerful position for all but two of the next 38 years. It all ended less than a month ago, when Democrats chose a new man as their leader, Emmanuel Chris Welch. He's a Democrat from the town of Hillside in the suburbs of Chicago. He was born 1 month after Madigan first joined the House and was in elementary school when Madigan was first elected Speaker. A lawyer by trade, Welch is also the first African-American to be elected Speaker of the Illinois House. He's still settling into the job and doing so in the midst of a pandemic. In order to accommodate his schedule, we spoke earlier this morning. Because of that, we cannot take calls during this interview, but we do like hearing what you thought of our conversations. You can leave us a voicemail at 217-300-2121 or send an email to talk@21stshow.org. Here now is my conversation with the new Speaker of the Illinois House, Chris Welch. Speaker Welch, welcome to the 21st.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for having me.
I want to begin with some policy issues, and I want to start with the pandemic. Do you think that by and large, for much of the past year, the legislature has abdicated its role in how Illinois responded to the pandemic? We've certainly heard that charge from Republicans.
Well, I don't want to say we abdicated our responsibilities. I mean, no one expected the world to basically come to a screeching halt due to a global health pandemic. And when we had an opportunity in May of 2020 to pass legislation that would have allowed remote legislating, it was actually Republicans in the legislature who led the effort to kill the legislation. And so without the remote legislating in law, without remote legislating in rules, we were not able to gather safely in person to do the work of the legislature. And so that's why I anticipate in our new rules that we adopt on February 10th, that we have a rule specifically allowing remote participation.
But there were many state legislatures that met more frequently than the Illinois General Assembly, which had no sessions in June, July, August, September, October, November, December. We have heard this charge from Republicans that the legislature should be more involved in decisions about, particularly about restrictions related to the pandemic, the economic activity, putting a pause on economic activity. What do you think of that argument?
Brian, if you look around the country, you will see that those legislatures that were meeting in person were largely run by Republicans in Republican majority states. And as you can see from 2020, we lacked leadership from a federal level from our Republican president, Donald Trump. In Democratic states, for the most part, you saw governing the way we did it in Illinois. We took the virus seriously and gathering in person during the height of a pandemic just has so many concerns and issues attached to it. Many people are concerned about going to and from and having to quarantine from their families when they return. Many of our members have small children like myself. We have spouses, we have elderly parents with underlying conditions that you have to be concerned about. And this was well before we ever had a vaccine. I for one respect the fact that the legislature has honored the safety guidelines and protocols. And even when we did gather in person in May and recently for lame duck session in the BOS Center, which is pretty large, pretty pricey, we still had COVID-19 outbreaks. And so the right decision is moving to remote participation and having a hybrid model and keeping people as safe as possible.
I want to move now to another big issue for Illinois government, and that is the budget. Arguably, it's the one essential task of the legislature every year is to pass a state budget. As you know, Illinois is facing a shortfall of billions of dollars. How do you plan to make that up?
Well, I think we start with working collaboratively and in partnership and reaching out to our congressional delegation, which I've already done. I've spoken to most of them. The ones I haven't spoken to, I'm playing phone tag with. And I'm working with Governor Pritzker very closely, working with Senator Harmon and the legislative leaders. We need a state and local stimulus package out of Washington. I am thankful and hopeful that the Biden-Harris administration is going to push that through in their first 100 days. State and local governments are hurting because of huge gaps created by COVID-19. We cannot ignore that fact, and that certainly will help us address some of our immediate needs. Also, it is helpful that we're seeing better tax revenue generated so far in Illinois. That it's been a pleasant surprise, but I still think, without a state and local stimulus package out of Washington, the budget that we put up on the board in May wouldn't be very pretty. We have a structural deficit of $4 billion. And so we're going to need to take a look at some responsible cuts and several revenue streams.
Last fall, as you know, the voters rejected a plan to tax the wealthy at a higher rate. I wonder, would you consider an increase in the flat income tax, an increase in the income tax rate on everyone as part of that solution?
Well, we have a $4 billion structural deficit right now, and we have to keep all options on the table. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you can't take the option off the table in February. We have to look at all of our revenue options, and there's many of them.
I also want to ask about the redistricting process. Illinois has clearly trended Democratic in recent years, but Democrats in the General Assembly have enjoyed supermajorities that some have argued exceed what one might even expect in this blue state, thanks to the clever drawing of legislative district boundaries. You've said you favor fair maps, but that phrase means different things to different people. What, in your perspective, is a fair map?
Well, I believe that Illinois is an extremely diverse state. Diversity is our strength. It's the strength of this great state. And my goal is to arrive at fair maps that have equitable representation for underserved and overlooked communities across the entire state. And a fair map would have to take into consideration the diversity of our state. If that's not reflective in the map, I don't know how anyone could call that a fair map.
Some people's definition of a fair map is that they should not be drawn by legislators. They should be drawn by people who don't have a vested interest in protecting a seat in a legislative body. Do you buy that view? Should maps be drawn by an independent commission or someone on the outside?
Well, I'm not going to get ahead of the process. There's several proposals out there on who should draw the maps. Our Constitution says the legislature draws the map. That's been the case for decades now. The legislature has always drawn the map. And I want to note that in Republican states where Republicans have the majority and control legislatures, it's not an issue that legislatures draw the map. Only in Democratic states where the Democrats are a majority is it an issue that the legislature is drawing the map. You don't find the same issues being raised in Republican-led states where Republicans are the majority in the legislature. And so what we have to be focused on is let's remove the partisan acrimony and have an open, transparent, honest process that lets the sun shine in and let the people see the process, and they will understand how the map is drawn. If you do that, you're going to have confidence in what the legislature does.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you. If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch. He is the newly elected speaker, been in office for less than a month at this point. Speaker Welch, I want to ask if you can reflect on what it means to be a Black man assuming this leadership role in Illinois government at this time.
Well, I got to tell you, there's been a couple of moments in my family that have really made the moment sink in. And one of them happened on Martin Luther King Day, which was really special. I like to have time with my family. We like to sit down and eat meals together. And we were having breakfast on Martin Luther King Day. And my 8-year-old son said, "Daddy, when was Illinois founded?" And I said, 1818, son. And I'm looking at his face and I can see his face was calculating the numbers. And he said, with his voice rising, "That was over 200 years ago. And you're the first Black person to have your job?" And I said, "Yeah, son, it took us over 200 years to get here." And that's what Dr. Martin Luther King was fighting for. And if I had a photo or a video of his face in that moment, that was when an 8-year-old boy realized what had happened for his dad and for the state of Illinois. It was really a special moment. And to go along with that, Brian, my son is 8, he's in third grade, and his school is in person and remote, and he likes to go in person as much as possible. He's never invited me to his school to speak to his class, but I've been speaker for 3 weeks, 3 weeks. And last week I got invited to speak before his class. And when he came home later that day, I said, "Tyler, how did Dad do?" He said, "Dad, your presentation was very enjoyable." We can't say fun, because we don't have fun in third grade, but your presentation was very enjoyable.
I guess the
it only took 2 weeks to be speaker to get invited,
though. Yeah, right. Well, the invitations will probably come fast and furious, and it's good to have the in when your father is Speaker of the House, I guess. I do want to ask about when you were elected. The news was tempered by these allegations of a domestic violence incident from 2002. A police report, as you know, said officers were called to your home where an ex-girlfriend claimed you had slammed her head into a countertop after she had verbally insulted you. She declined to press charges. You have since said you reconciled with the woman. But I want to be clear about this. Did the incident happen as described in the police report?
Let me say this, Brian, and I have addressed this, and I'm going to rely on the statement that we've issued. And I was not arrested as a result of that incident. I was not charged. And that was over 20 years ago. My relationship with my colleagues in the General Assembly speaks for itself. When Speaker Madigan pulled the plug and decided to suspend his campaign, my colleagues asked me to step up for this. Women in my caucus who have worked closely with me in very close situations over the last 8 years asked me to step up to this position. They asked me questions. I answered their questions publicly and privately. And on Wednesday, January 13th, I was honored to receive 70 votes to become Speaker of the Illinois House. I think my record also speaks to how I treat women. I didn't just vote for women's issues. I led on women's issues. And I believe that's why women came to me and asked me to step up on this position. And so I'm not going to get caught up in a false narrative that many people were out there trying to create. I'm going to let my record speak for itself and the fact that I was not arrested and charged with any wrongdoing.
And Mr. Speaker, I understand your reluctance to talk about this, but I wonder if this story is not going away. And it's not just journalists asking about it, but it could be appearing in TV ads and campaign mailers against scores of the Democratic colleagues who, as you said, elected you nearly unanimously to be their leader. And I mean, you saw how Republicans helped make your predecessor the most reviled public official in Illinois. Do you have a plan for addressing this going forward?
Well, Democrats, we go out and we knock on doors. We talk to voters. People know me. I continue to get reelected in my district, even though Republicans continue to raise that issue in every election that I'm ever in. And I continue to win elections by larger margins each time. We will knock on doors. We will talk to voters. Our records will speak to what voters care about. Our record will show that we're addressing ethics reform. Our record will show that we're addressing COVID-19 and the things that people care about, like rental assistance and mortgage assistance. When I come into the office every day, Brian, people are calling me and emailing me because they are desperately trying to get through to IDES. We're going to address the things that people are talking about and care about because they're struggling during the midst of a pandemic. And that's why we're going to see Democrats get reelected in the state. There's a reason why Republicans are in the minority, because they focus on things that people don't care about.
We are almost out of time. I do want to ask, as my final question to you, it's often been said that your predecessor, Speaker Madigan, had two main priorities during his time in Springfield. Earlier on, it was looking out for the interests of the city of Chicago, and ultimately maximizing Democratic majorities. What do you think when political scientists and historians look back on the tenure of Speaker Welch? What will they say was his main priority?
Well, I think they're going to look back and say that Speaker Welch was the perfect guy for the job, that he was uniquely situated for it, that it was symbolic that he was from the suburbs of Chicago, that he was not from Chicago or from downstate, and that he was a bridge to making Illinois one state, one Illinois, and brought us all together. We didn't always agree, but we worked together and moved Illinois forward. I believe that's what people will say in 10 years.
Speaker Welch, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Coming up after a short break, my interview with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. This is the 21st. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community.